Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates, 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. And we've decided we're going to devote this hour to going through the regions.
All right.
And letting AJ kind of tell us.
I don't know, like, if maybe people want to call in with questions or tweet questions. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Drone, like, because I'm fully aware, and I guess now people care about it.
Well, yeah, they care about it now. Now's the time to dive in and take advantage of the fact that you've been doing it all year.
Yeah, I'm fully aware that the interest in this sport basically starts now. Or yesterday, and won't be relevant again until
really,
this time next
well,
year.
Well, yeah, really, it's like the Joe Lunardi factor.
Yeah.
And we won't hear from him again.
No.
Nor should we. And he's done for the year now. I think people will care for the first couple weeks, and then when their brackets are dead, they'll move on to other things.
Yep.
But, yeah, we could certainly take, you know, people can tweet. You got a call about a certain team, but we'll start with the East region. And I think that's the way to do it. We'll do the East region this segment, and then if you got questions about the Midwest, that'll be next. And then we'll do the West and then the South. Seem fair?
That seems fair.
All right. Well, let's start with the East region. And I think your general thoughts, and then
okay.
I'll put some things in here.
When I first saw the region, my initial thoughts were SMU's massively underseeded. And where they are, they caught a 3 seed that I believe will be out of the tournament early. So SMU is probably kind of a darling to me. And then the thought I had after that was South Carolina is not a 7 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion. But that team, I don't know how it works out. I mean, I don't know how they decide who... You know, who's playing where, but for South Carolina, who, much like Syracuse, had zero impressive road wins, they are a 7 seed. They're playing in South Carolina to start. I mean, it just seems like they kind of gave them a bunch of love. I don't really get it. That matchup with Marquette's pretty interesting, too, because Marquette's a really good shooting team, and South Carolina's basically built on defense. And then we talked a little bit about, you know, Duke and their road to the – it, to me, looks like a pretty manageable road to maybe even the Elite Eight before they're really pushed. SMU, I think, could give them a game, but they really lucked out with their draw. They earned it by winning the ACC tournament, I suppose, to an extent. But to get the draw that they got, I thought was really fortunate for them. The only team I can see besides Duke coming out of that region is Villanova, obviously the 1 seed. And I'm still high on Villanova. I loved Villanova last year when no one else did, which was kind of nice because Villanova's traditionally been a let down in the tournament.
If I'm not mistaken, they kind of won too, didn't they?
They kind of won the whole thing. And guard play is where it, you know, that's the way you win tournaments. That's the way you win in March, is with great guard play. And Villanova's guard play is as good as anybody's. They are missing that front court presence that they had last year. That's the biggest difference for them, and why I don't know if I can take them to win the whole thing again. But I do like that Villanova team. They're my favorite team in this region. I know it's picking a one seed isn't fun for anybody, but that's the team that I like coming out of that region.
Is there any way Duke doesn't make it to the Sweet 16?
I have a hard time picturing that. I think they roll Marquette or South Carolina. I mean, when I see teams like Duke come in, my initial thought is, okay, they're a two seed. I can probably find a place where they get knocked off, and they got a good draw.
Yeah, because even Baylor or SMU, I don't think going to be able to. It'd be Villanova.
I think Villanova's the SMU is the one team that's interesting to me. SMU is really interesting to me because that's a really good team. And they are 11th in the KenPom ratings, which if you bet on college basketball, you know what that means. And
right.
So they're basically the 11th most respected team in the country from a betting standpoint. And they won 30 games. I mean, to me, that they probably should have been a four seed. If not high, maybe a three, but a four at a minimum is what I would have thought. And they just beat Cincinnati in the AAC tournament championship. Cincinnati also got a six seed. So it's like it didn't even really matter. And I didn't get that. I thought that was a strange thing. And SMU, again, I don't know if they can beat Duke, but I do think SMU is one of the most underseeded teams in the whole tournament.
I like them, and I've watched more of them this year probably than I have a lot of teams. I just think I think they're a really solid basketball team. I just don't know if they'll be able to beat Duke. I do think they'll beat Baylor. So if you're doing your bracket there, I would have SMU advancing past that round. I might be wrong. Don't follow this as closely as AJ does, but that's how my bracket would go. I'm just totally not sold on Baylor.
I think the maybe the most interesting first round matchup, you know, if you're looking for an upset, I think one to watch is that Virginia, UNC, Wilmington, who are polar opposites of each other. UNC Wilmington, really efficient scoring. They score a ton of points. They run. Virginia, they want to play the slowest kind of basketball they can. They want to grind a game out and hope they win with 50 points on the board. I could see UNC Wilmington giving them some trouble because they're a wide open team, and Virginia just if NC Wilmington hits their shots, Virginia just doesn't really have the offense to get in a game like that. So if you're looking for an upset, that's probably my peak upset in that first round of that bracket.
What do you think? And just a degenerate question: what do you think of the over under 135?
If it's over, it's really good news for UNC Wilmington. I won't bet overs in Virginia games just because they'll make you look foolish. They've played games in the 40s this year.
Yeah, that number struck me as kind of high.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. Jason has a question about the Eastern bracket.
All right, Jason.
So let's get him on.
Sports to you guys. Hey, so I was looking at the Eastern bracket, and they were talking a lot about this yesterday, and I wanted to get y'all's take on it, is that that next game if Wisconsin makes it through as the eighth seed, do they have enough in the tank because of their pace of play to knock down Nova and make it a clear path for Duke? I'll hang up and listen.
Everybody likes Wisconsin, and they are misseeded, but I mean, it's a good matchup. The big three guys for Wisconsin, Koenig and Hayes and Happ, it make for interesting matchups. But again, I just think the best player in this region is Josh Hart. And I feel like that's the kind of game that all season long he stepped up and dominated. And they're a balanced team, but when you need a bucket, that's their guy, and I'm not betting against Josh Hart. Wisconsin's good. I'm just not betting against Josh Hart in a game like that.
Boy, if Villanova does get knocked off, though, it just seems like
it's a cakewalk.
Duke's in the Final Four, and if you're somebody was asking earlier, they're plus 250 to win the region. That seems like a pretty solid number.
Yeah, I don't have them winning the region, but that is a pretty good number.
If you like them,
yep,
good value. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Well, that pretty much gets us through that bracket. Is there anybody, USC, do anything for you if you think they could beat SMU?
I don't think so. I mean, USC, given if they beat Providence, I could see USC giving SMU some trouble. Providence would not give SMU trouble just from a matchup standpoint. USC could. I still like SMU quite a bit, though. I think that's a, like I said, I think they're massively underseeded. And, if they lose to a team that played in the play-in, then they deserve what they get. But go look at what SMU's done this season. Go look at the 30 wins that they've got. And that, granted, I've said all year long, the AAC is not a good conference, and I don't believe it is.
There was one other good team, and then there were a couple of decent NIT type teams. That's about it.
So it's pretty much a bad conference. But I think that's I don't want to say they're special or anything like that. But for a team that's playing outside the major conferences, they're about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I could see them. I think it's going to be tough to beat them. I really do. And they're playing good basketball now, too, on top of everything else. I think they're playing their best basketball of the season. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If Duke gets to the Final Four, how are you going to have it? Duke, Arizona? Not to steal from the West, but are you going to have Arizona coming out of the West?
More than likely. Yeah, that's what I've got. Like, again, when I first looked at the bracket, that's what I had. That was my first thought. And someone brings up that USC actually, that one of their four losses, one of SMU's four losses, was to USC back in November, and that was at LA. So, I mean, obviously that makes a difference. And it was a close game. That was a good game, actually. But I feel like, again, I feel it's the SMU's playing about as well as you can. They haven't lost since the middle of January. And before that, they hadn't lost since November. So you talk about being on a run. They're 25-1 in their last 26 games. That's pretty good.
Here's your dumb text of the day. You ready? I find it interesting that AJ has a lot of details for someone who says he doesn't start paying attention to college basketball until basically right now.
Okay.
That is probably in the litany of dumb texts, that's number one on the list.
That may
be the dumbest text we've ever had on the show. You deserve an award for that,
sir. I pay attention to college basketball all season long, and I'm not crazy in love with college basketball. It's not like my favorite sport or anything, but it is the sport that I bet on most effectively. So I pay very close attention to it. I was saying the majority of our audience doesn't care about college basketball until now.
Yeah, that's true. And I've said all along, I don't really start paying attention in depth until last week.
That's why you don't hear us breaking down games all season long, because I understand that no one really cares about it. I got the memo.
You guys sound deathly afraid of my Blue Devils. Afraid? No, I just hate them. I hate everything about them. And if you're a Blue Devil fan, good for you.
I mean, teams should be afraid of them.
They've got a really easy path to get there, and I hate it when Duke wins. It's like communism winning.
Yeah,
Putin winning.
I mean, I understand there's people who feel that way. I don't have anything against them. I
recognize their coach is probably the greatest coach ever, and they've had some fantastic teams. But if you're one of those Cameron crazies, I kind of wish you'd go walk and play in traffic. I really do. I'm not a fan of you.
That's I don't know. I just think that had they lost that game to North Carolina, which they were well on their way to doing, and it took a massive choke job, then they're a four seed. And I just think they're maybe a little bit overrated based on what they did in the last week is all I'm saying.
Well, let's be honest. The NCAA wants them going deep because for the reasons I mentioned.
It's big for them, yeah.
People will tune in to watch, love them or hate them. And more of us hate you than love you, Duke fan. Sorry. But people will tune in for that. And it's great ratings and great theaters. And that's all we care about. But I'll probably bet on them a little bit. I like that plus 250.
And, it's a team that they lost to a few teams this season that didn't make the tournament. They lost to Syracuse. And, you know, Syracuse, a team who ended up not going anywhere. And they lost to North Carolina State, who, if Boston College didn't exist, North Carolina State was the worst team in the ACC. So, but they also did a lot of good things this year. They had some good wins. And besides those two losses, the teams that beat them were teams that probably should have beat them and are two seeds or one seeds. And I get, well, there's Miami beat them, I think, and they lost one more to a decent ACC road loss that's not ranked ahead of them. But they're deserving of the praise for what they just did. I just think it's easy to forget that this whole season didn't look like the last week.
All right. Well, I may not like Duke, but I will probably bet on him here and there. And if you want to know where to do it, you can make a boatload of money this week at mybookie.ag. And if you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. And, guys, I've used MyBookie now for a while. And, man, you want to cash out, they pay. Fast, with no hassles, you're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off. So if you wanted to do something and you missed it, hey, go jump in and play the half. Join now. How about this? MyBookie's going to match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. That's right. Join with $100, you'll get an extra $50 bankroll to play with. You just have to use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. This is MyBookie. You should check them out. Play, win, get paid. Use promo code FRED. That's MyBookie.ag. My lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
ESPN 97.5.
Well, if you're like me, you tend to forget things, especially important things like, oh, I don't know, your wife's birthday or an anniversary. And with all the technology out there, you think I'd be better at remembering those dates. Well, ProFlowers has come up with the ultimate solution to ensure this never happens again. Because what they're going to do, they've launched their brand new Pro Gifter service. It's the easiest fail-proof way to never forget an event and look awesome all year. The Pro Gifter service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries, same or different, to 3 addresses or the same up to 1 year in advance. So, you know what? When you're thinking about it, sit down, order these, type in the dates, and boom, 3 bouquets with vases and free shipping, all for just $99.
Yeah, it's a great deal, and it's great to have that off your chest. Like, you don't have to be worried about it in the back of your head. Oh, do I have something coming up? You pick the 3 dates that are most important to you, or if you want to do it twice, pick the 6 dates that are the most important to you, or you want to do it for your mom and your wife, or your wife and your girlfriend, whichever. You can do it all with Pro Flowers, and they all come with that 7-point quality check and a 7-day freshness guarantee or your money back. There's plenty of occasions you should be sending flowers for right now. Go to proflowers.com, look for the Pro Gifter banner right there on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery date, and you're done. It's that simple. Pro Flowers, proflowers.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, and we will move on to the Midwest, where your Kansas Jayhawks are the number one seed, AJ.
Yeah, this is this region is tougher because I'm having a hard time finding someone other than Kansas to take. I'm not sold on Louisville. Oregon is maybe questionable to me, but they've got injury issues.
Yeah, big injury for them.
There's this to me. If you say which team has the easiest road, which one seed has the easiest road to get there, I think it's Kansas. I think that they are the least challenged by other teams in their bracket. So again, it's kind of lame. And By the way, if you, I'm gonna have my bracket will have 3-1 seeds in the final four, which some people will say that never happens. I don't know the stats on how often it happens. Maybe we can ask RJ on Wednesday. But this year, I just don't see a lot. I don't see a lot of possibility for some 5 seed or 6 right. seed to show up in the final four and crash the party. It just doesn't seem like that kind of a season to me. You know, the Michigan State being a 9 seed, that's really exciting to me, because then we get Kansas, Michigan State in the second round, and at least from like a coaching standpoint, man, it's hard to say that they'll walk through a Tom Izzo tournament team,
right?
Because it just doesn't happen very often. But Michigan State just doesn't have quite the ammo that they've had in previous seasons. Iowa State's a little interesting to me, although I could see them losing in the first game. But they're a team that could give Kansas some matchup problems, because they gave them matchup problems already once this year. They beat them one of the times they played. So they're interesting to me. Creighton was a team that I loved all season long until they had their injury, and they lost their point guard in the middle of the season, and they've actually performed better than I thought they would, but they'll miss him during the tournament, and I'm actually taking Rhode Island to win the first game. So, and then, like I said, Oregon is interesting just from the standpoint of the injury of health, like how right are they? And then the bottom part of the bracket, that Michigan-Oklahoma State game is pretty good. Oklahoma State maybe a little bit underseeded, and I don't think there's a lot of teams lining up and wanting to play Michigan right now, who's really hot. And
do you think one of those two takes out Louisville?
I could see Michigan taking out Louisville. Oklahoma State might have a tough time with them. But yeah, I could see Michigan beating Louisville. They're just on fire right now. And again, I think Louisville may be a little bit overrated. I'm not saying Kansas has an easy road. I'm just saying it's harder for me to pick another team to make it all the way to the end than it is to pick Kansas. So it's, don't get me wrong, I mean, like I said, playing Michigan State in the second round,
yeah, or Iowa State in the third,
man. And you know, Miami's played way better in the last 6 weeks than they have the rest of the season. So them being an 8 seed even is sort of a it's got an asterisk by it, because they're playing like a 5 or a 6 seed lately. So and then you're playing either Louisville or Oregon or Michigan, one of those type of teams in the at the end of it. But it's just harder for me to project another team into the Final Four, because Kansas is very good. I mean, they've got great guard play, which we talked about in the last bracket too. It's a good thing to have all season long, but in the tournament particularly, it's good. And Josh Jackson is the best player in the region. And that's kind of one of the things I do, is I look at who are the best players in the region.
Yeah.
Because, that's what wins in March, is like generally having big-time players. And after Josh Jackson, you probably get down to, Miles Bridges at Michigan State and Caleb Swanigan at Purdue. I mean, there's a drop. Dylan Brooks at Oregon is good. But there's a drop after that number one to me. And Josh Jackson is – he's just so freakishly good. He's great on offense, great on defense, and he rebounds, which is, if that, and he can play all the way up to like a 4 if they decide to go small. He rebounds so well. He can defend bigs well enough that he can play at from anywhere from 2 to 4. So I think he's a really good player. I think he's the kind of guy who will impact this tournament greatly.
I don't know that I'm going to have the stones to punch the button on them to pull the upset, but I sure like Vermont +8.5 against Purdue.
I do too.
From a betting perspective,
I worry about how they're going to match up with Swanigan, but Vermont.
And I know their conference isn't that great, but they haven't lost a game since December, and that was against Butler, and it was a very competitive game. They've played really well coming into this, so I kind of feel like they're going to keep it close. With my luck, it'll be one of those games that's 2 points with 45 seconds to go, and it turns into a free throw game and Purdue covers. But that's one that I'm looking at playing, unless you talk me out of it.
So. No, I won't.
So overall strength of the bracket, to me, this one doesn't seem all that great either.
It's not loaded. You know, they, like I said, there's some kind of sneaky sleeper type teams in there. Michigan as a 7 seed is super dangerous, and both those 8-9 teams are pretty solid. And I even think Iowa State's a pretty solid little team. But I still think Kansas is they're the team to beat there. I think that's who goes.
Someone three says, call me crazy, but I think Iowa State can beat Kansas. I agree. I just don't know if Iowa State's going to get there.
They beat them once.
Yeah,
they already beat them once. So. They absolutely can.
Yeah. It's hard for me to trust Kansas, but I have to find somebody that I think has a legitimate shot to beat them. I just don't know if I could get Iowa State that far.
That's tough.
That would be the question about it. If they do, certainly a possibility.
You asked how many times three number one seeds made the Final Four?
Yeah, you know.
Four times. Since 1979, four times. The latest was in 2008 when Kansas, Memphis, North Carolina, UCLA, they were all number one seeds, made the Final Four.
So are we trying to buck trends here or what?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it. We'll do it.
I'm probably going to have Duke going.
Yeah?
Well, which as distasteful as it is.
Dude, I'm not laughing at anybody who's got Duke in their Final
Four.
Because
I just don't see anybody touching them until the final there, and that's if Villanova doesn't lose to Wisconsin or something goofy, which I could see happening too. So I'm going to have Duke coming out of there, and I'm going to hold my nose while I'm doing it because, it's just it's distasteful to pick Duke to do anything because I want to root against him. But
if you do win the pool,
I'll feel better
Duke
about
winning.
It.
Yeah.
That's like there's occasionally, like there'll be a horse I don't like because I don't like his trainer or something, and I'll bet on him, and in that way, if he wins, I'm not all disgusted. That's kind of how I feel here, because I'm going to be disgusted. All right, so that is your Midwest bracket. We will do the West next, and then we'll wrap up the hour with the South. So if you have questions about the West or the South, if you miss the East. Or the Midwest. It's all on the podcast. It'll be on Podcast Arena.
But if you want to text or tweet, we can do things that way too.
Yeah, just say you got questions about the West or the South. West next, and then the South to wrap up the hour, and then we'll move on to some other topics.
All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey guys, sunshine and birds are singing.
It is finally after
it's a miracle.
A long weekend of muck.
Yeah, I was going to build an ark, man, and trade the Dirt Free one of the Dirt Free trucks in for an ark. And just mount two of the Dirt Free trucks on the ARC since they come in pairs, it's going to be able to handle jobs still. But the sunshine changed my opinion. And friends, if you want your opinion changed about carpet tile, leather, grout, that little nasty grout line, drapes, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs, even grout coloring, grout sealing. I mean, we are the company to make the interior home look great without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. We had to create a lot of technology to work without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. Because all the carpet cleaners do it. They use those things. But when you dial 281-DIRT-FREE with 1E, 281-DIRT-FREE, you'll get a new technology. We'll start in the worst area, prove our boasts. If you don't love it, you don't pay. Three rooms, $100. Let's give away. If you needed air ducts or leather or a return done or something like that, we'll do a free room of carpet cleaning with any non carpet cleaning purchase, and $100 free speed dry with carpet cleaning purchase. So three rooms carpet's $100, but if you needed that wool rug done and you want one room done, we'll do the one room for free. So 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpets.com on your smart device. I think you'll be impressed.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate the time, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. All right, let's move on. We'll go to the West, where I know you have a team you like quite a bit.
Yeah, and let me preface this by saying, and I figured that St. Mary's was a 7 seed, like kind of when I was looking at my bracket or looking at the possibility of brackets before they did the selection show. And they just happened to go up against the 2 seed that I like the most in Arizona. So I'm not very bullish on most of the Pac-12. And, you know, there's a lot of people who love UCLA, a lot of people who love Oregon, especially given the region that they're in. If you don't want to pick Kansas, there's a lot of people looking to pick Oregon. But Arizona, I am high on. And, you know, that's St. Mary's lost 3 games or 4 games this year. 3 of them happened to be to Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So they're a pretty good team, and they're very good. I just don't know if they can beat Arizona. The Northwestern making the tournament for the first time in I don't remember how many years it's been, but I think it's kind of cool. And Vanderbilt is a team that I have very little interest in.
Yeah.
Because I think the fact that they're a single digit seed is laughable to me. You know, I think when you look at what I've been doing in the last couple brackets, looking at the best players, I think you can make a case for Nigel Williams-Goss for Gonzaga. You can make a case for Lauri Markkanen in Arizona. You can probably make a case for Melo Trimble at Maryland, although I'm not really crazy about Maryland at all in this bracket. But this is I think Gonzaga, for all the 1 seeds, Gonzaga has maybe the easiest first weekend, and it turns hellish from there for them. So they get South Dakota State, who I don't think they'll have any trouble with, and then they get Vanderbilt or Northwestern. Northwestern playing in its first tournament in forever, and Vanderbilt, who should be an 11 seed. I think Gonzaga will breeze through the first weekend, but then you get Notre Dame or West Virginia, who both have the style and the players to compete with Gonzaga. And then if you get beyond that, you're getting Arizona or Florida State, who's really, really dumb, but also really, really talented basketball team. So, I mean, for me, of all the 1 seeds, Gonzaga got the toughest road. And Gonzaga is also, to me, the most flawed of those 1 seeds. So I knew all season long Gonzaga wouldn't be in my Final Four. Because I have them as like 7th or 8th best team in the country, and I assumed they were going to get a 1 seed because it didn't look like they were going to lose a game all season. They finally lost one, but regardless, I think they've got the toughest road of all the 1 seeds. And then, you know, I think the Gonzaga Arizona game would be really fun. I'd like to see that play out that way. I also think Notre Dame Gonzaga would be a really excellent game.
How crazy would I be having West Virginia Gonzaga?
West Virginia's tough, man, because that style of play, I've seen them win some games in a really impressive fashion, then I've seen them just lose some head-scratching games. And the reality is West Virginia's a really good team at home, and they're a really okay team when they're not at home. So I'm not wild about them. But I would say that having them get past Notre Dame's not, you know, it's not a ridiculous thing to pick.
And how much do you buy into Florida State? Do you think they're one of those teams that could get upset in the first round? Do you think they're moving on to the Sweet 16?
I don't think they could get upset in the first round. But like I was saying before, that's a team that's super loaded from a talent standpoint. But they play dumb basketball sometimes, and they're just not very smart. So I could see them giving away a game. And I've actually got Xavier winning over Maryland in the first round. A Xavier team that
I've seen that a lot. That's a very trendy pick with people who follow the sport.
Well, if you watch Xavier, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Xavier was going to be probably an 8, 9, maybe even a 7 seed, and one of their best players gets hurt. Suddenly they haven't looked the same lately, but they actually played really well in the Big East tournament. They look like a better team right now, so I'm cautiously optimistic about Xavier.
+2, by the way, on my bookie, so
Well, there you go.
They're not that big of a dog in there.
But this is a, it's a really, there's not a lot of walkthrough games for any of these teams. You know, I would say even all the way down to, like I said, down to the 7 seed, you're looking at really good teams, really solid teams. St. Mary's is really, really good for a 7. You know, West Virginia, pretty solid for a 4. Notre Dame, I would say, quietly, one of the better teams in the ACC this year. A 5 is a, I mean, that's a tough seeding for them, too. So, and then Gonzaga and Arizona, obviously. I think this might be the most competitive bracket. I think there's the... I'm really bullish on Arizona. I think the matchups are going to be really good throughout this whole thing. There's enough good teams that there should be fun games every round.
You have Arizona coming out of the West, however.
I do.
That is your one non-number one seed?
Yeah.
So Villanova, Kansas. Well, tease ahead.
Ahead.
North Carolina will be next.
Tease ahead. North Carolina is my national champion.
That's probably where I'm leaning, although I'm not... I'm tempted to pick Duke to win the whole thing, even though I think North Carolina is a better team. But I think that bracket that North Carolina's in, I think there's some tough matchups along the way for them.
Oh, for sure.
And I just don't see anything for Duke. I like SMU, but I don't know if I like them enough to beat Duke. And then all you got to do is get by Villanova. And you have Coach K in the tournament. And I hate them. So if I pick them to win and they win it all, at least I'll be happy.
Yeah.
There's that. And say, hey, pick Duke.
It's hedging your bets.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to make a really bad analogy, but I'm not going to do it. Do with sleeping with a woman you don't want to sleep with, but then you wind up getting her pregnant. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN. Hope everybody's having a great Monday. Beautiful day out there. Man, a great way to start off spring break for those of you who are getting some spring break. Texter asks, just to mix it up for a second here. This is broke, calm fire cadet guy driving to Atlanta to visit family and just crossed into Louisiana. They budgeted gas, food, and some side money, but not enough for a room in between. Being a degenerate, I'd still like to do something cool and have a beer somewhere and make a mini trip out of it.
Where is he going to?
He's on his way to Atlanta through Louisiana.
If you'd like to go, my favorite bar in the whole country is in New Orleans, at Avenue Pub. So if you...
It's not really cheap, though.
Maybe not.
Yeah, there's plenty of...
But the great thing is, they're open 24 hours. So if you you need a place to stay.
Yeah, just pass out at the bar. That's one way to do it. There's a lot of great cheap daiquiri places along the way or something if you don't have any money. But you can get loaded for $2, but don't do that and then drive on to Atlanta.
You could probably hook up with some dude in New Orleans. Dude, he'll give you probably $50, $100, depending on how you look.
5 or 10, yeah. Either way. 832, am I crazy for having St. Mary's and West Virginia in the Elite Eight?
No. It's, like I said, St. Mary's is no joke. And if they were, I would probably have them beating any other 2 seed just besides Arizona. I knew Arizona was going to be in my Final Four unless they were happened to be regioned with North Carolina. So I don't think that's crazy at all. It's not for me, but that's I think that's a respectable, if you're looking for underdogs and you'd like to have a couple of those teams in your Elite Eight, that makes sense.
Well, I'll tell you something else that isn't crazy. Donating your vehicle to HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's right, because if you do, that vehicle is going to go to help kids at Houston Can Academies. These are kids who've dropped out of other schools for a variety of reasons. Some of them needed jobs to support their family. Some of them, there were travel problems. And they give them a second chance. Houston Can Academies takes them in, works around whatever the problems were, and so many of them graduate and go on to do great things. And you can help because they need your donations more than ever. And a lot of school year left. Here's what you can do. You can donate a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV. Maybe you're going to do some cleaning up this week while you're off for spring break, and you got this tractor sitting there, or you got a four-wheeler sitting there, and there's nothing you can do with it, right? You're going to fix it up, but it doesn't run? Well, donate it, because they'll come and tow it free of charge. They'll process all the paperwork, And your donation is tax deductible. So next year when you're doing those taxes, it's going to look really good. You'll be surprised how much you can get. And the cool thing about that is you're doing a great thing and you're helping yourself out. And if you donate today, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. If you can hear my voice, they can come tow the vehicle. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I knew I'd see her around.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's rodeo, Houston. Sam Hunt is performing tonight for just $18. You can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and carnival fun. Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com for Sam Hunt. Bill Kennedy's Texas A&M Coaches Show at 7. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis at 8. Is this your buddy Sam?
Yeah, it is.
I don't really like this one.
Breakup in a small town.
Yeah, this doesn't do much for me.
Our guy won the hamster ball race?
He did.
Good.
Unfortunately, our sumo guy fell down. But can I just say this? Our guys were the only ones to show up.
Oh, really?
The other stations failed miserably.
Okay.
And unfortunately, with the rain, it screwed things up a little bit. But
it's hard to be a sumo in the rain.
Yeah, and they would not let them bring the lawnmowers on the track because it got so wet. And by then, all I could think about was, yeah, I wasn't like dressed up, but I was dressed fairly nice. And I was realizing that was a tactical error because I was going to ride a lawnmower. But I was with a friend of mine in the jockey club after my appearance was over, so I didn't want to look like a bum. And the more it rained, all I could think about is, A, if I don't get out first, I'm going to get muddy as hell. B, I'm going to get muddy as hell anyway. And C, I'm going to get rained on.
Yeah.
So it didn't really break my heart when they canceled it. But, oh, well. They've had a lot of rain out there this year. It's unfortunate. All right, let's move on to the South region and wrap this peppy up, where North Carolina, as you've already said, is your pick to win the whole shebang.
I love when there's regions like this, like glamorous regions where, you know, if things work out the way that they're hoping on Sweet 16 weekend, they'll have North Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA. Yeah. I mean, that almost guarantees you, if those teams make it, that almost guarantees you two really great, probably the highest rated games of that weekend, because you'll have UCLA, Kentucky, and then you'd have North Carolina versus the winner of that game, assuming North Carolina can get past Butler. But I like when they put multiple marquee brands in the same region, and you could argue that, you know, all three of them are, I mean, I've heard people argue for Kentucky being a one seed, just like I've heard people argue for Duke being a one seed. I've heard people argue that UCLA's should be a two. So I think that this is a really tough region, especially at the top.
I think there's a couple of teams that are sneaky good. We mentioned Wichita State earlier as a 10 seed. That seems silly. I think Cincinnati's a pretty scary team, too.
Wichita is my sort of my dark horse. It wouldn't shock me if they made it to the Elite Eight team. That team is so disrespected with this 10 seed. And, I thought the SMU thing was bad, but this might be worse. And when you talk about KenPom and, the RPI and the metrics, things like a Sagarin.
Right.
Wichita is 8th in KenPom, 11th in Sagarin in the country. Yet they're a double-digit seed who they got a really tough matchup in the first round against Dayton, You know, Dayton's no joke either.
Right.
Both of those teams, the 7-10 game, both of those games are going to have Kentucky on upset alert. If Kentucky plays around and gets down early against one of those teams, they will lose. Those teams are both good enough to beat them, and they're both kind of pissed off, I think, about where they're seated at. So that's a great game, that 7-10 game. Usually, like, 7-10s, 8-9s
yeah.
They're usually competitive on paper.
Right.
But they're usually not games that I'm super thrilled to watch, mostly because they're about to be fed to the Wolves. But that 7-10 game is about as good as it gets to me. I think those teams are both really good, and both those teams could beat Kentucky in the second game.
See, I could see... Well, like I said, I like Cincinnati, and I don't think Kansas State's that bad either. I don't think either one of those is a pushover for UCLA in the second round.
No?
If it gets to that. So, I mean, that whole little pod there, I think is going to be competitive.
Yeah. No, it's no joke. And Wake Forest, if Wake Forest plays well enough, they could cause some noise. So, yeah, that's a it's a really fun bracket. Butler maybe a little bit overlooked. And, I mean, they don't have the same coach there anymore, but that's still a really good program, really good players. That's a really fun region to have that many great teams at the top of it.
And I like that Middle Tennessee Minnesota matchup.
Yeah,
that's another one that's I think is kind of sneaky.
I don't like Minnesota very much. They're one of the teams that I didn't know if they'd be a 4 or a 5, but I was like, please pair them up against a good 12 seed, 13 seed, so I can pick against them. And Middle Tennessee will do. They're good enough for me. So I know everybody says you have to always have a 5-12 upset, and I had a hard time picking my favorite one, but that might be the top one for me.
Yeah, and Middle Tennessee's been playing pretty well. As a matter of fact, you know how Vegas has that game? Well, my bookie has that game. Pick them.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, so my strategy this year was when picking that 5-12, I almost picked all of them. And
figuring you're going to be right on...
I picked almost all the 12 seeds. I'll probably be right on 2 of them. But the only 5 seed I picked to go through in the first round is Notre Dame, who I just think is too talented. And Princeton's a... You know, they're what Princeton always is. It's a good strategic team, good shooters. But I just think Notre Dame's got too many weapons for them.
All right.
But, yeah, I've got North Carolina, UCLA... in the final of that South region, and I've got North Carolina moving on and then eventually going on and winning the whole thing.
So you have, to recap your final four,
Villanova, Kansas, Carolina, Arizona.
And who do you have in the title game?
Arizona, Carolina.
Ooh, I like that. And then Carolina to win it all?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly who I'm going to have win it yet, but I'll have Duke different from you. And I'm either going to pick Duke or Carolina to win the whole thing.
All right.
By the way, congratulations to Texas Southern for getting in. Now you get to play North Carolina.
Thoughts and prayers on your draw, but...
Yeah. Hey, at least you're in for a game.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's the whole tournament, in a nutshell. So when we come back, we'll do Gym of the Day. We'll get into the Rockets a little bit. Got some other stories for you. We'll take some phone calls if you guys want to keep talking tournament. We will do that next segment. But right now, got to tell you... Talking tournament, everybody wins at Texas Mattress Makers when you buy direct from the factory and see the savings for yourself. And now with March Madness, you can play and win with even more savings. All right, you're already saving at least 50% off of what you pay at a retail store because you could go there and buy it, but they make them right there at Texas Mattress Makers and sell them directly to you. So you're getting great quality. You're getting a great price. Well, you can save even more off that 50% that's already there. 5 to 50% off factory prices. Play and win all month long, only from the sleep experts at Texas Mattress Makers. Yuval and his family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation. Great people. They make a fantastic product. They're constantly coming up with new and better beds and better ways for you to sleep, and all at incredibly affordable prices. They're at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them you're a Blitzer. They love the Blitzers. They'll take care of you. They'll put you on the bed that's best for you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
I ain't gonna be that easy to leave. Oh, 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 oh
listening to The Blitz on